recorder's on, so anything that can get you court-martialed, don't say it at this point.
We can yell out a few things.
Yeah. You get what I mean. Okay, section four.
Section four.
Stay with me now. Looking at social perception. Okay, social perception, we're talking about ways in which people perceive one another. Perception is to perceive. Social is the interactions between people. If social perception, therefore, is the ways in which people perceive one another. Okay. Stop me at any point if something doesn't make sense. A couple of the different phenomena that we find in social perception are the primacy and the recency effect. And we've talked about these before when it comes to memory. They're going to be used in a different way when we're talking about social perception. They're going to use the same terms, but they're using them differently in this context. So when we're talking about social perception and we say primacy effect, we're talking about the tendency for people to form opinions of others on the basis of first impressions. Okay? Studies find that how future behaviors are interpreted is often influenced by first impressions. We know this. We know the first impression is huge. Okay? One of my parents had a boss that used to say that when they were going through the hiring process, they would form a great deal of their impression on the energy with which the person came up the steps to their office. So before they even stepped into the room, before they even said a word, before they saw what they were wearing, they would pay attention to the sound of the person coming up the steps. And if they came up with enthusiasm, okay, they knew this person was an enthusiastic person, a go-getter, ready to go, or I don't know, maybe just late. If they came up kind of lazily, well, you know, down the road maybe that would lead to this. So they based a lot of their opinion just based on something small like that. So we do have the tendency to put a lot on that first impression. Right? It often takes a lot. If there's a negative first impression, it takes a lot of positive behaviors afterwards to overcome that. The other side of the coin is the recency effect. This occurs when people change their opinions of others on the basis of recent interactions instead of holding on to their first impressions. Of course, this does happen. We find that the first impression is strong, and that it often takes a lot of kind of contrary experiences to overcome that. But the recency effect has to do with later information in the equation changing our perceptions of a person. And thank goodness this happens, right? Otherwise, you would be kind of doomed based on that first impression. Maybe you were having a bad day at that moment, and then you would be looked at as a bad person for the rest of your life. And that wouldn't be good. The first theory we're going to get into is called the attribution theory. This is how people tend to explain the behaviors of others in terms of one of two things. Either their disposition or their personality. Disposition just means personality, okay? Or the situation, external factors, things that are going on around a person. Okay, so the attribution theory says that we're going to explain Diedrich's behavior based either on his personality or on the situation that surrounds him. Different factors, different things that are going on around him that are, you know, somewhat probably outside of his control. Okay, so disposition and situation are important terms here. The actor-observer bias. We find that when we are looking at different situations, people's behaviors, there's a consistent bias called the actor-observer bias. This says that people tend to attribute or explain the behavior of others according to disposition and attribute their own behavior to the situation. So they tend to favor, when we're looking at somebody else, if somebody, I was trying to explain to Jordan, if somebody walks down the hall and we see them and they're mad and they're angry, we're much more likely to attribute that to the person's personality. Okay. Whereas when we walk down the hall and we're angry, we're much more likely to attribute that to the situation. Well, I was angry that day because somebody, you know, because I hit my shin on whatever. We are much more likely to see the complications in our lives and the different external factors going around on around us leading up to our own behaviors. Whereas we tend to oversimplify when we see other people. We tend to say, well, that person's angry, they must be an angry person. Never seen this person before, they're angry right now, well, angry person. Okay. So we tend to analyze ourselves, but not analyze others as much, and just kind of put it on, that's who they are. Which obviously could be totally wrong. That could be a wonderfully happy person that just had a series of 7 horrible things happen to them. And therefore, they're angry in that moment. Okay? It's unfair then to say that's because of their personality.
Or they're French.
Right. Or they're French. Okay, so. Right. So this bias, now, and I want to separate these two terms. This bias leads us to make the following error, okay? So that bias towards analyzing ourselves but not analyzing somebody else leads us to make the following error, okay? That's the fundamental attribution error. The fundamental attribution error says, or is the tendency to overestimate the effect of dispositional causes for another person's behavior and to underestimate the effect of the situation. But saying the same thing, this is just the effect of that bias that we have in our own minds, okay, towards analyzing our own behaviors and not analyzing somebody else. So the error that we make as a result of that bias, okay, is the tendency to overestimate the effect of dispositional or personality causes for somebody else's behavior and to underestimate, okay, the effect of the situation. And again, like we were talking before with prejudice, it's not that we're bad people, it's just that we have a tendency to want to simplify things because life is complicated. And this is how our mind works. So if we have the ability to simplify things, if we don't see something going on around us as being incredibly important, we will try to simplify it in order to store up more RAM for things we are going to need to analyze and figure out later on. Just kind of part of our nature. Studies also find something called this self-serving bias, and this was what we were talking about with the study guide, the question on the study guide. The self-serving bias says that people are more likely to attribute their own successes to disposition or personality factors. So we're more likely to attribute our own successes to disposition or our personality, okay, than the successes of others. When it comes to others, we're more likely to analyze it according to, well, do they have more opportunity than this person, whatever. But when it comes to us, when we have success, we're much more likely to put that on our personality. So therefore, it is self-serving. Okay? So on the flip side, we're less likely to attribute our failures to personality factors, more likely to attribute them to the situation. Okay, so when we fail, we're much more likely to explain it away based on, well, I didn't get enough sleep last night, or this or that happened to me. So we just kind of naturally have this defense mechanism to help boost ourselves up. We credit ourselves with successes, and maybe don't look at the extra opportunities that we might have had. And then when something doesn't go quite as well, we have the tendency to explain it away based on situational factors. Except for, okay, like we found in the study guide, which is a mystery line that we can't find in the reading, except for in the cases of somebody who has depression. They are not likely to manifest the self-serving bias. Okay? They're not as likely to have this happen to them. Again, looking at social interaction, different ways that we communicate with each other, different things that we read into with how we perceive each other. Nonverbal communication, we won't spend too much time on this, we're going to do this with our activity. Okay. Nonverbal communication is just anything that's not oral, right? It's facial expressions, gestures, posture. You know, my posture right now versus right now. I'm so bored with this. You know, being bright and smiley and having better posture communicates different things, right? So obviously, nonverbal communication, we use that to interpret, you know, what's going on with a person. That tells us a little bit more than what they might actually be telling us. Physical contact is another way that helps us perceive people you know, around us. It helps us get more information about those people. My stepdad has, again, he has the tendency when he's talking about something meaningful to put his hand on your shoulder. And just kind of what that's his way of expressing that he's trying to say something a little bit deeper in that moment. Okay, so when we touch somebody else, we communicate non-verbally with that. It has meaning to it. Okay, it can mean a lot of different things based on what kind of touch that is, obviously. That can be positive or not so positive. And we don't need to get into all the negative sides of that. Okay, but obviously it means things. Okay? Eye contact goes under the nonverbal category, but different types of eye contact tend to mean different things to us. Direct eye contact, that usually says that we are telling the truth in those moments. If we're able to have that direct eye contact, that we're confident about what we're saying and we're telling the truth. Okay? If we're avoiding eye contact, we're either probably not as confident about what we're saying, or we might be lying, okay? So it's just kind of our human nature. We have a hard time looking other people in the eyes and telling a lie. Gazing, according to this definition, is our steady, intent looks. This supposedly conveys eagerness or attention. Very different than staring. Staring would be the fixed wide eyes. Okay, could be a little bit crazy looking, tends to be interpreted as anger. So something pretty subtle, gazing is direct eye contact, but that subtle difference between somebody being intent on what we're saying and maybe their eyes just being a little bit wider and then they're staring and then it's uncomfortable and they're mad at us. Okay, so all these little subtle variations. I read a book about a scientist that coded every little muddle in or every little muscle in the face. And through a combination of all these different little muscles, he broke down like a series of hundreds of different facial expressions, and he coded them all out to mean a million different things. And he said that he could sit down with a newlywed couple, and like 98% of the time, based on just their facial expressions, he could predict whether or not they would stay together, and they could have been married for a month or 2 months or whatever it might be. But with his coding, he could pick out, you know, little things in just basic questions of, he said the worst thing was contempt, when he saw contempt, and it was a subtle thing, but when he saw contempt, that meant a relationship that was not going to last. Whereas you could be angry at the person, but that wasn't necessarily as indicative of a relationship not working as contempt. But he coded all these different little facial twitches that he could have.
Did he ever examine the Mona Lisa? Because I saw something where it broke down what she was thinking at the time she was being painted. Like she was 2% angry and all these different emotions.
I don't know. I haven't heard that. He was a character that was mentioned in the book. By Malcolm Gladwell, the guy that I showed you with the crazy Jamaican hair, or the Jamaican guy with the crazy hair. You gotta switch those words around, otherwise it starts to sound weird. I don't know. It's very possible. I don't know how many people are into doing different, you know, facial coding breakdowns like that. But I don't know.
There was two jobs.
What was the name
like,
of it?
It was kind of like a Law and Order type thing. I don't know what it was called.
I'll have to look up who that person is.